The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. And holy crap, that explosion in Beirut, when I first saw it, I honestly thought it was a nuclear explosion. So it was a port, and some guy was smoking a cigarette with all kinds of some kind of chemical that can explode. That's what happened.
Well, I didn't hear a guy was smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that part.
Yeah, that's what immediately it was.
How would they be able to? This is what I don't know. How would you be able to tell that at a blast site like that, like there was a guy smoking a cigarette, unless it's anecdotal, and then people in that very near vicinity? I don't know how anyone could have survived that.
2,700 tons of highly explosive chemicals.
Ammonium nitrate.
Were detonated by the blast of a small nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
It's the most, I've never on camera seen.
Enough. No, me
either.
I've
seen stuff like, you know, the videos that were, I don't know if they're real or not, but the ones from, you know, back in what a nuclear bomb looks like and things like that from World War videos. And that's the first time I've seen on video something that looked like that. That was I just couldn't believe it. And I knew that Twitter would have videos of it. The people would have had videos. And when I just typed, I hit the hashtag Beirut, and I just hit videos, and I looked at them all. I was just floored. I have never, not since 9/11, when there were videos. Remember, there wasn't camera phones, but there were still plenty of videos there of different things. I have not seen anything that was so jarring and shocking.
Unbelievable.
It was literally like, you know, there was mushroom clouds.
Yeah.
It was,
yeah. Ammonium nitrate, and it was, so I don't know if it's true or not, but one of the reports yesterday was that a dude was smoking a cigarette.
Did you hear? That's not even the big problem. The big problem is it was found. It was discovered, and it's been stored there since, I think it was 2014, which you're never supposed to store that much together. It's just
2,700 tons.
Yeah, they were, to put that in perspective, Timothy McVeigh,
yeah.
that was 2,000. That blast was 2,000 tons.
The Oklahoma State building. In Oklahoma
City.
No,
I'm sorry. I think it was 2 tons.
Two tons.
2,000 pounds, yeah. It was 2 tons that created that blast. This was 2,700 tons.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City was 2 tons. This is 2,700. That gives you an idea of the scale. And the only thing bigger than that, or very, very similar, was a Texas City blast. In 1947, there's a monster blast. People from Texas City know all about, like, it's not something, I didn't really know about it. I'm from Texas. I didn't know about the Texas City blast, but people in Texas City know about it. It's very famous. It happened in 1947, and it was enormous. And it was the same kind of, it was the same blast of the same compound, but it's a, man, those videos were absolutely
unbelievable,
crazy. And I saw the death toll. They said 400. I mean, there's no way it's going to be substantially higher. A lot of people are missing. A lot of people have been injured. But I don't see how did you see what it did to buildings?
Yeah.
Did you see what it did to buildings? I would assume that it looked like probably 5 to 10 miles away.
It was incredible.
Knocked the insides of cars out that were just filming from. Honestly, it looked like it was at least 3 to 4 miles away.
No, you got to run when you see any kind of, because that everybody was filming that fire, and then the explosion. Holy,
the shock waves when they hit him.
Wow. Boom. Yeah, the one on the guy on the roof. Holy crap, that was unbelievable, unbelievable. And then the Rockets lost, and the Astros won.
Yeah.
And former Rocket Carmelo Anthony got his old team.
Kind of former Rocket.
No, he's really a former Rocket. I mean, he had his
Did
greatest.
Did they even count him in basketballreference.com? Is he in there?
He played a game or something.
Was he in there for Rockets? How many games? Just out of your. I think I remember.
How many games did he play?
Yeah.
I think he was 7.
I thought it was 6. Let me see if you're right.
I think it was seven. I think he played seven games. And I think it pushed him over the top for the Hall of Fame, if you want to know the truth.
Those
his Rockets. Yeah.
He looks like he can play.
How about he blocked P.J. Tucker? And then
he hasn't been bad since he's been with Portland.
No, he's actually, and then he knocked down the big three to put him up five.
Yeah, yeah, we're off. He played 10 games. He started two.
Well, but
remember, it's after two, and the Rockets said, "Yeah."
Remember, he's mentally challenged. He said, "Yeah, that's what he said." What did he say, Del? He said, he didn't want to come off the bench because he's mentally challenged.
No,
he didn't say that. Words matter and the order of them matter as well.
What did he say?
He said he was challenged mentally.
If it's a challenge mentally, is he mentally challenged?
But the context of mentally challenged says one thing. What he meant was it's a challenge mentally to reconcile coming off the bench.
He said, it's a challenge mentally.
It's challenging mentally.
He's a mentally challenged.
He said it's challenging mentally more so than anything, having to prepare for the game differently. We have to sit and argue with him about mentally challenged and challenged mentally.
Things clearly that he said.
You buy into it, Dell.
I'm not buying into it.
He said he's mentally challenged.
Because people don't know this bit.
Is it not mentally challenging? Is he not mentally challenged?
He didn't say that.
Your Honor, thank you. Because words are taken out of context.
People don't know that this bit's been going on for about a year and a half or 2 years now. So, of course, I have to jump in because, no, Carmelo Anthony didn't call himself mentally challenged.
Thank you. He did. I'm sorry. Well, okay. He used the words mentally challenged.
But not in that order.
Like yesterday.
Well, when he hit a three to win the game.
I'm going to say, I thought that was from the first quarter you could see, because they started floating that soft double at James Harden. And James, I have not seen James completely taken out of a game mentally like that. It kind of looked like he was just like, okay, well, this is how this game's going to be, so. You guys, good luck. I did not see. James was a low energy for as good as he's been recently. He was low energy, standing out 32 feet from the basket, away from the action, almost just saying, okay, they're going to double me whenever. So you guys, you take it and go. Well, here's the problem. And this is all the stuff that we talked about. Literally everything we talked about yesterday came true in the game. They slowed the tempo down by throwing a soft, it wasn't a hard double, it was more of a soft double that kind of slows the decision making down. Every time the Rockets were down, this game was played like basketball was played 5 years ago, 6 years ago. They were under the shot, they were inside of 7 seconds of the shot clock, 5 seconds on a frequent basis, both teams were. And then James Harden, they took the ball out of his hands, they slowed the tempo. They made Crazy Russell do Crazy Russell stuff. He did not have a good game. And then they said, okay, beat us, Covington and McLemore. And it was just a mess.
Jeff Green kept him in the game.
Yeah, Jeff Green had some moments. Daniel House had some moments. Yeah. But you saw, when James Harden was off the court, that looks like a 20-win lottery team.
For a while, James and Russ were off the court. The end of the third and the beginning of the fourth.
That's the time that I'm thinking that I turned to Chris Solis and I'm like, that's a lottery team. This is a 20-win team here. Daniel House, Covington, McLemore,
Green.
Jeff Green, and I don't care, whoever else, P.J. Tucker.
No, it was Austin Rivers.
Oh, yeah, it was Austin Rivers, who was one of the better players on the court at that particular time. That's where you are when that roster has their two best stars off of it.
Well, why do you ever have to have Russ and James off the floor at the same time?
Because James is off
foul trouble,
five
right?
fouls. So it
yeah, but still, Russ. You know what? You play Russ, and then you sit Russ with James.
Well, maybe Russ's rest time.
They stayed on the. They just said, okay, we're going to stay on Russ's rest pattern. James got an early foul trouble, which is unusual. He wasn't attacking once he saw that double team. And it took the Rockets a while to figure out putting Russ in a high post and having James throw that high. If they're going to double off of Russ, throw the high post there. This is a concern because they showed a little, blueprint for really making the Rockets play an inefficient brand of basketball. If the Rockets are hitting threes a good clip and they're not turning the ball over, okay, so be it. They can potentially win that game. But they never chased, they never ever threatened enough to chase Portland out of that defensive strategy. And they weren't good. They played like a bunch of goofs. I thought this is the most goofy-ass game I've seen the Rockets play in a while. They just were completely out of sorts. And they still had a chance to win because Portland was the Rockets actually played pretty good defense. I do want to give the Rockets credit for their defense. But Portland actually stunk, too. Portland must have missed, at least 30 layups. 30 shots in the paint. I mean, they were absolutely terrible around the basket. The Rockets.
I'm looking at the shot clock.
The Rockets were obliterated.
Nine misses right around the basket.
It was, and I'm talking about bunnies. Yeah. Nothing shots. And then take a look at the rebound. What was the final rebound total?
The final rebound total for
at one point it was 41
64 to 39.
What was it?
Rockets were out rebounded 64 to 39.
Yeah, well, that's the Rockets though.
Oh, no, but they got their brains
25,
in.
25. That's the Rockets.
That's terrible.
No, well that's,
if you're going to do that, you can't turn it over.
You have a bunch of little people. What are you talking about? You that's what they do.
Then. Good. Then you can't turn it over.
And it was only 10 times as Russ was it felt like more. He turned it over 4, but overall, because really the pace of the game, which is not a Rockets pace, only 10 turnovers.
Yeah, 10's good. But that's way below average.
I mean, does it feel like 10?
Well, maybe it doesn't because of how slow the pace was.
Well, you know what? You know what?
Wasn't Russ, it was the James. Basketball. James had Here's 4. Something. Russ only had 1 turnover.
Yeah, here I read the wrong stat line.
Russ had 1 turnover.
He just missed layups around the rim is what he did.
Right, he did too. But mishandling the ball.
Well, that's James.
That's probably some. No. Russell did it too. I saw him chasing down the ball more than one time. That's part of what I'm probably thinking of because it felt like a ton of turnovers because they kept bungling ball handling opportunities and passes where they had and the shot clock ended up getting under 4 seconds on them. It was just awful.
You're not on board. That's all.
It was really bad.
You're just not on board with our team.
And Raheel's comments about you can't blame the Rockets. They had a hangover from celebrating a championship against Milwaukee. That was uncalled for. That's ugly.
Raheel said that?
Yeah. In the text.
I don't remember that.
I remember. I mean, you say it was uncalled for, but your response in the group chat was different.
I don't recall that.
It wasn't very wordy, but it seemed like it.
I missed that parade. I missed the Bucks win parade.
You weren't. Well, it was a virtual parade because no one can congregate.
Well, oh really?
Oh, I see.
Oh, no one can congregate.
Not city sanctioned like a parade right would have Richmond. To be. A parade would have to be sanctioned by the city. So the Rockets couldn't get that permission.
I just drove by a strip club that looked like they had another. They had a parade going on. Maybe it's for Portland. I don't know, but they're
in the drive-through.
Oh, maybe it's an Astros parade.
Oh, they asked. Oh, Christian Javier parade.
Yeah, Christian Javier parade.
A Christian.
All right. So for
we're going to talk about a Christian Javier parade.
So for
on
as
the
bad
side.
As the Rockets looked yesterday, they had a little bit of a stinker. And frankly, if you listened to the show yesterday, a lot of what we talked about, where you couldn't have that happen if you want the Rockets to win at a high. You know, you couldn't have certain things happen. Well, one of those certain things was. Obviously slowing it way down and forcing the Rockets to play half court. Taking James out of a half court game is even more disastrous. But on the flip side of that coin, in Arizona, second straight, really impressive.
On the other side.
Really impressive Christian Javier.
All right, on the other side. Site Jab. Now, a little jab at the Rockets is what you gave him?
Site Jab is a company who has been building websites for, it's about 21 years now. From when they started, it's close to 21 years, and they can build a custom-made site for you, and it takes between 3 and 6 weeks, so it doesn't take as long as you think. But the custom-built site is something that what they use is they use not just technology that is the latest technology, but it's the latest design protocols so that you can get the most, you know, and these are all studied. You can get the most eyes on your site, and you can get the most transitions from eyeballs to leads. And then when you have leads, you got a chance to have a closing, and then from there, your business takes off. And this is a time where a lot of work is being done virtually and a lot of business is being done virtually. So make sure that your website is virtual friendly and make sure that your website is something that will attract new clients once they land on your site. To get an example of what they've done for older sites and the remodeling of the sites, go to sitejab.com and check out their portfolio. But let them build your website and let them earn you more money as a small to medium-sized business. Sitejab.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We missed a lot of foul shots that complicated the game. We missed, we shot okay for three, but we missed layups early. And we just weren't rotating, we weren't flying around, we weren't creating opportunities to run. After a made basket, we definitely weren't running. So we just kind of got into a, you know, their kind of game where they're big, a little bit slower than us, and we played just the way they play. And lack of energy, third game, you know, with some heavy legs, I don't know. But beside the point, we just got to be sure as we go forward, we get in better shape and be able to withstand this type of energy that we have to win a game.
Now, I just don't. They had 4 months off. Yeah, a lack of energy in the third game is just unbelievable.
All right, I'll give you. I don't think it's that they're tired. It's just.
No, what?
I think it's.
How could you have a lack of energy? You've got 8 games to play before.
You're just not into it. Are you always energetic about everything?
They
had
a hangover from their championship against the Bucks.
To me, he's talking directly to James because that's on the text string we talked about. I said, James, this is the most low energy I've seen James. It's like Spurs game 6 energy for a while where he just sat out there and there was no sense of
urgency. Do they have a strip club in the bubble?
Oh, of course the jokes is there's two guys, me, Chris, and Ross. Of course it's like Ross turns and says, I think James broke curfew. I think James broke quarantine last night. This looks like a guy who's stayed out at the strip club all night. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but James is just, it's like he sees a soft double team and like, I'm out. No thanks. This is going to be too hard.
James is opting out.
This is too hard.
James is opting out of double teams.
It was not, he did opt out of double teams yesterday, which is fine. I don't want him trying to break double teams, but I do expect.
Well, how about making a pass out of a double team?
Well, then bring the ball up with a different player and put him in the wing. Where you're less likely to see the same double team, or they're not going to have the same, or put him or flash him to the high post. You know, flash him from wing to the high post. Do some different stuff, Mike D'Antoni. Do something to get. You can't win games.
You can't tell James what to do.
You can't win games without. You're not going to win games without James Harden more heavily involved than he was last night. And I know he was in foul trouble, which short circuited him in the second half. But overall, James Harden. Was just not a factor, and Mike D'Antoni has got to do a better job of putting him in a position to, you know, enact some type of and James has played better energy too, but enact some type of opportunities offensively through just movements of where you deploy him. You can't just deploy him at a predictable location or the soft double, or even deploy. Whoever you're, you know, it looked like their doubles were coming from whoever closest man is. We'll just rotate from whoever closest. I thought it was Russell Westbrook at first, but then I realized that's just because Russell's closest. That's the only reason the double's coming from there. So that's one that they better get settled because they're going to see that much more often. And what Mike D'Antoni, he even told you, even after makes, after misses, we just weren't running. We played Blazers ball, and then they got beat to hell on the boards by big guys. And big guys who missed a lot of layups, or it would have been a lot worse.
Yeah. All right, I'm done talking about that. I mean, I haven't gotten a pizza yet from Daryl, so I'm done. What I want to talk about is Cy Javier, okay? How about Cy Javier? Coming in 79 pitches, 4 hits. And I'm a little disgusted with just 2 strikeouts, but I'm okay with it. I mean, I'm all right. 3 strikeouts for the game for the club. But, you know, Cy Javier has stepped into that's Verlander's spot. That's Verlander's spot, and he's come in, and he has looked, and he's got 2 wins in Verlander's spot, which is totally, totally sweet. And he could have gone, I mean, 79 pitches, dude could have gone. He's given you everything that you've got to have. Wow, what a start to this guy's career.
If his name wasn't Javier and his name was Justin Verlander, you would say, man, this is JV's doing it again. Dealing. Looks yep. solid. Looks like same
he's
old.
He's on his way to another
lower punch out numbers. But I think he had two yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But throwing just location's good. Just total command and composure there when he got the double play when he had men at first and third. And they now it was a good play by Altuve to stab it. And you know Carlos Correa throws it as hard from on the relay. On the double play, I don't know that any shortstop has got a better gun, but man, what a great job of getting out of that with just giving up one run by Javier. It was fantastic.
Yep. No. Dude, he stepped in.
That's when it was 3-1, too. It was 3-1 minute first and third. It was like, uh-oh, this could be some trouble. All of a sudden, it's a double play. We turn back to the Rockets game. When we turn back, it's 8-1. And I'm like, holy crap.
Because George Springer.
Just like that. It happened just like that.
But Toro and Tucker were on base every time that it seemed like every time Springer came to the plate.
Yeah, Toro finally scored runs. He said, "What is this plate thing that I keep stepping on?"
And he was still 0-for-3, and yet he scored. He scored
twice.
Yeah, scored twice. Tucker got a couple of hits last night. That's the kind of man. Now, we saw Altuve finally, but he's still 1-for-5. Goodness gracious.
Well, he did get a bomb.
He did get a bomb in the first inning. And then Correa hit one in the second. Correa, 3-for-3. Seems like he's hitting better than your simulated Carlos Correa. To me, it does anyway. You know, there's OPS at 1,100.
Mm-hmm.
But man, if Springer... he's hitting 189. Springer's 189. Altuve's 163. Bregman 209. If the top of the order starts hitting, forget about it.
Well, as long as Javier keeps pitching like that.
Well, you got Javier, you got McCullers, and you got Greinke. Now, as soon as Urquidy gets back, Josh James goes to the bullpen, and you just deal with Fromber every couple. He's not going to have to make every start. But because you got some days off. But as soon as Urquidy gets back and he's full strength, this rotation isn't all that bad. I heard AJ talking yesterday. He's like, I'm not all that interested in the, you know, first of all, he's not interested in the Rockets because they're small and they don't have much of a chance to win a title. Now last night, notwithstanding, I thought, well, they've been playing pretty good basketball. But he said, you know, the Rockets with the Astros without Justin Verlander are not interesting. They're still very interesting. What are you talking about?
What?
This is a good, really good baseball team.
It doesn't feel like they don't feel like a team that's going to, you know, win a World Series without Justin Verlander. If that's the case. And by the way, we still don't have any confirmation on Justin Verlander.
No. I mean, we got confirmation on Osuna. I'm like, okay, it's okay.
He's your closer. You aren't going to love it.
I don't know
down the road. How many relievers are they going to have?
He doesn't look like my closer anymore. I don't know. He just didn't look like him anymore.
He hasn't pitched.
I'm not only talking about his hair. I'm talking about his pitching.
Well, when did he look like a lockdown closer?
Well,
I just expected. I'll just say it. I just expected more from a closer. I'm tired of these Ken Giles, Roberto Osuna closers. Who, when they're not giving up runs, they're giving up warning track fly balls where your nuts are shriveling and you're terrified every single second they pitch. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that. Every closer of the Astros. Well, who's our closer now? Let's try. You know, Will. Let's see what Will Harris does. He's having an awesome year. You stick Will Harris in there as a closer, and all of a sudden he can't get it done. And who was it in 2015? They went through like three different closers. Neshek was never officially a closer.
No, but he had to close some games.
Who was
he pounded his glove a couple of times. It was oh my god, it was horrible.
Luke Gregerson. Luke Gregerson. That little he had a decent little slider.
You
want
to apologize to Ken Giles and Roberto Osuna because according to MajorLeagueBaseball.com, they're two of the top six closers in the game
today. Good.
Yeah, well, before the start of the season, they were.
That's a total.
So maybe closers in general aren't any good anymore. Well,
maybe your nuts never shrivel like Lance's.
No, because here's certainly the thing. You know what? This is the thing. You get you have a 2-run lead and you give up a run and you win, which would give you a 9 ERA, for example. I mean, you get the win, which would give you a 9 ERA. That's a save. Congratulations on
he
your save,
led the American
sir.
League in both saves and games finished
congratulations
last year.
Congratulations on your save, Suna. Sir. Don't start this crazy flat earth. Ken Giles is a good closer nonsense.
Maybe closers aren't that good anymore.
No, the Astros closers are not dominant. We saw them. We saw when we saw when you had Brad Lidge. When Brad Lidge was a good closer, that's what a dominant closer looked like. And then he had his bad year and mentally whatever. But Brad Lidge is what a dominant closer looked like. Billy had some good years, but Billy Wagner just couldn't believe in a second he just refused.
Ooh, don't start that again. Billy didn't talk to me for 2 years because of you.
Why?
Because you said that after.
Because I said he needed to throw off speed
pitches. Billy was on the show with us.
You want to talk about
I got him to come on.
He's going to ruin your relationship again.
I got him to come on the show. I was in the locker room the night before. Hey, Billy, come on. Do my radio show tomorrow morning. Yeah, come on. So we do the interview with him, and then he hangs up, and Lance goes, yeah, if he can only get a second pitch, Billy.
Was he still on hold?
No, he hung up, but he listened after. Okay. And then, I mean, he was so pissed at me, and I was like, and finally, we get back to spring training. After a whole year, we get back to the spring training the next year, and I go, Billy, what's your deal? And he was like, I got on your show, man. I said, well, that wasn't me that said it. It was my partner that said it.
Yeah, and he was right.
Like, and he was like,
all you do is sit on that.
That's true. And I was like, well, what the hell?
Well, what I said was true?
No, that it was
that
you,
it wasn't
not me.
You. Guess what? Both of them were true. It was me, not John. And you never would throw a second pitch. Everything was fastball. But everyone knew that you were coming with the gas because when Billy threw an off-speed pitch, it terrified
players.
You know
how many saves he got because of that fastball?
No, that's fine. Billy was a good closer. I didn't think he was a great closer.
But my point is, you're referencing guys who haven't been pitching for a while, but as far as this list is concerned, maybe closers in general aren't dominant anymore, and they're just.
I don't care. I know
them.
Astros closers aren't.
Let's be relative.
I don't care about other
closers.
So
what's going on right now in baseball? So if we're not comparing them to the greats of the past.
No, it's not. No, you. I still think you should be good at your job.
They're one of the best at their job.
No, they're not one of the best at just at, because somebody. You don't get praise for being below average, or
they're not below average.
You're saying it's
how
not
would
even
like
historically.
Craig Kimbrell, how would you like that?
Yeah. No,
Craig Kimbrell was one of the best in the game. And
at one
sucked.
Point, now he sucks.
What
yeah.
I am suggesting is, according to this list before the year started, that they're in the line with the best closers today.
Yeah, today. Well, today it is different. It is different. Closers are not the same. There is no Mariano Rivera.
Well, then that doesn't make you good. Let's say that hitters were really terrible. And
you mean
that's
like Altuve and Springer?
That's like bragging about a 790
you know
OPS.
Are, they're still Altuve, Springer, and you know
no,
what?
No, I'm saying it's the epitome of bragging about, oh, well, he does have a 790 OPS. Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys have a lot lower OPSs at shortstop, so he's one of the best shortstops in the game. Like, no, he's...
Yeah, today he's one of the
best
in the game.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
It means...
Tallest little person?
It means compared to the rest of the players in his league, he's one of the best. And apparently that's
what
their closers are.
At the highest level, Lance, what do you want out of him?
I have a two for sale for suits. You get two suits now. Yeah, but these suits suck. Yeah, but you get two of them.
Maybe you're actually Coma Dad.
Right. Maybe,
well, I'm not Coma Dad.
Yeah, because
I expect better.
This is not what baseball is anymore. That's all I'm
saying.
There's
no such thing as closer anymore, Coma Dad.
So now we just lower our standards. This is fine. This burning building is fine.
Lance, if everyone is worse at their job, then you have to just say that this is what baseball is, and that's the standard
that's
for right
standard.
Now.
Right.
It's a standard, but you don't. But you shouldn't be okay with a standard that is below expectations.
What about the bunting
especially
standard?
Based
what about
on
the
your,
bunting standard in today's baseball?
I'm not even going to talk about that because did you watch the Astros yesterday?
Yeah.
Did you see when Dusty had a 5-minute dissertation with a mask on? And I could only understand part of it because now Todd Callison and Jeff Blum, they stopped talking. And through the inning, it was Dusty was asked on a Zoom call about bunting. And he talked about it. But here's my takeaway. And he said things. These guys didn't learn to bunt. They haven't bunted since they were, you know, since they were in high school,
right.
Yada, yada, yada. But my whole thing is, dude, is there someone within 6 feet of you? If not, I get that you want the optics to be, hey, Matt, wearing a mask is important. But just take it off. for the Zoom call so we can understand everything.
Look at Dwight Howard, anti-vaxxer, anti-mask. Look
yeah,
at you.
Okay. What's
when you're in a room by yourself?
Dusty's rights violated?
Do you have a
we
mask on?
We gotta take a break.
Do you have a mask on now?
Not right now.
Nor do I. Nor does Dell. Why is Dell not wearing a mask?
Boomer Naturals?
If Dusty Baker were in there, Dusty Baker would have a mask on.
Because Dusty doesn't have to talk for a living. It's only 3 minutes at a time, I guess. I don't know.
I got
to
talk right now about Caliber Roofing and Exteriors. That's what I got to talk about. Are you dealing with an insurance company about your roof? Well, here's the deal, okay? If it's not gotten to the point of a lawyer yet, which that's large loss attorneys, what about my guys over at Caliber Roofing? They will come over. They will talk to you. They will give the – they will – because the insurance company is going to try not to pay you, okay? If you've got – and roof damage happens. Storms, tree, branches, hail, wind. By the way, we're having – this is storm season right now. So you got to make sure – if you want them to just come over and look at your roof, they will absolutely do that, absolutely free. And they might tell you, hey, your roof's fine. Call us in 5 years, whatever the case may be. These guys are honest. I love them. They're great guys. If you need gutters, painting, siding, decking, power washing, Caliber Roofing and Exteriors does all of that as well. So when it comes to your roof, you need to work with the guys at Caliber Roofing and Exteriors, locally family-owned and operated business. They use top-quality Owens Corning roofing shingles. Financing is available, so you don't have to. You can get affordable monthly payments with no prepayment penalties or home equity required. Call for a free inspection, 713-823-9355, or go to 975roof.com. Look up at your roof when you pull into your driveway today. Do you need them? 975roof.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh. I gotta watch that. Fear City, that's it? It's on Netflix?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna do that. What was the deal with the NBA yesterday? Holy crap, you want to talk about... The Nets beat the Bucks. Hold on a second. The yep. Suns beat the Clippers.
Yeah.
What the bleep is going on in the NBA? You know, the Heat beat the Celtics.
Without Jimmy Butler, they beat the Celtics. Oh, the Heat are a good basketball team. I don't know what you're so surprised.
I watched
about.
Some they of that suck. Heat game. They.
I saw some of it too. They suck.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Sure. I know you love the Celtics.
Goran Dragic.
Yeah, I do love the Celtics.
They took an ass beating, by the way, without Jimmy.
Goran Dragic just plays such weasel balls.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Running into. Like, we're literally running into players
keep talking about
the ground.
Oh, yeah, because Harden never initiates contact.
You know what I thought of? I'm like, this looks exactly like James
What about
Harden.
The offensive foul on Gordon Hayward?
What about
what a
it?
Joke.
What about it?
You probably pay off the refs.
What?
That's Miami.
Why are you
You're a bunch of cheaters.
Whatever. Did you bet on the Celtics? Why are you so upset?
No, I just don't like Miami winning anything.
Yeah, they won without Jimmy Butler. They're a good basketball team. I don't know if you know this. Thank you. Best shooter in the game, too. You want some of that Duncan Robinson? You know you want some of that Duncan Robinson.
You don't want no Duncan Robinson.
A 45% three-point shooter on the Rockets. You don't want Duncan Robinson?
Oh, I do want him.
Yeah, that's what I thought. 6'8", tall, can shoot. Stop.
Yeah, but we don't need nothing like that.
No. You got Ben
McLemore.
We're
going to get a Corey Brewer.
Yeah, you're right. You got Ben McLemore. What am I saying?
Ben McLemore actually has played pretty damn well.
He ain't Duncan Robinson, though.
No. And I want to tell you this.
How do you let a little...
He's not little.
He's
6'8".
Pretty big, yeah. But how do you let a white guy in the corner get a wide open look? Like, that kid's probably been practicing for that moment since he was 9. Listen, Duncan, at some point, and this is Coma Dad said this when he was just, when he was a little infant, little toddler in his, before Coma Dad went to, if you missed Coma Dad yesterday, you'll just have to catch up. But listen, at some point, you're going to have an open look, okay? You've got to be able to knock it down. It's probably going to be in the corner. It could be free throw line extended. Okay, but you're going to get your looks. Your name is Duncan. You're going to need to shoot from the corner. And then Coma Dad came out of his coma and like, where's my boy Duncan? He's playing in the NBA. I knew it. What's he doing? Just banging home corner threes.
Being a little disrespectful. Comes off screens.
Yeah, he's got some athleticism.
Yeah,
he can play.
Being a little disrespectful. That's all. But so, the Nets only the Nets beat the Bucks, as you mentioned. Biggest upset in, what, 20-plus years of the NBA? Now, the Bucks didn't play anyone more than 20 minutes, so that plays a part. But the Nets got it done. Giannis got in a little skerfuffle, with some unnamed Nets player because no one knows any of the Nets. But the Nets won.
This has got to be a little bit of a concern right now. Rockets don't look good against Portland. And frankly, Portland didn't look great against the Rockets, but it was not a great game. It was a very sloppy game. So Rockets don't look great. This is coming off the heels of beating Milwaukee. Then Milwaukee loses to a Nets team that's just, you know, tremendously shorthanded. And you start to ask yourself, man, we know the Suns have come back energized. We see that with Portland starting to take a little step forward. Question's been is who's the team, or will there be a team that just loses momentum? And that might be the Milwaukee Bucks. And not having a home court advantage, I'm telling you, we just don't know what that's going to do for teams. There is no, for all the noise they pump in to the broadcast, that's not what's going on supposedly in the stadium. And maybe some of these teams that feed off of their home court, or some of these players, are just not the same, because it doesn't. Somebody's going to be affected. Every game is a road game because you're not at your home bed. You're not at your home. You're in.
Well, it's definitely the least advantageous year to have home court advantage. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's just about the matchups.
But
now,
who can play when they're around surroundings? There is something about the psychology of how are you when you're in a different hotel room and a different place and all that. Some guys handle it fine. Some guys aren't. You know, we've seen the home and away splits for certain players. That's a real thing.
I would have said it's an advantage for the Rockets up until yesterday.
Yeah.
But I didn't love the matchup anyway. Can I ask you a question?
Well, hold on. Oh, yeah, yeah,
go ahead.
They're pumping it into the stadium?
I mean, their arena sounds. They're playing music, so I don't.
I know they're playing music, but I'm saying the crowd.
They might they're pumping the crowd noise into baseball. I think they might be pumping it into basketball.
And there's an app for you to cheer.
Yeah,
and so that sound gets pumped in. So I think,
but
they
how
are.
Much is it being pumped into the stadium or the broadcast?
Yes. No,
because I
stadium.
Thought it was into the broadcast.
I think it's
no,
in the
that's
stadium.
It's
or
in
the arena. Because in soccer we
in
hear
soccer it's in the broadcast. I think in basketball it's in the
but
arena.
But you don't know that for sure.
Not for sure.
Because I know the music is for
they
sure.
They give you an app to allow you to cheer, and that's not just for the broadcast. So I think it's into the arena itself.
And I haven't heard anything about that app.
Does anybody know?
Since
let
it came
us
out.
I have not heard that. By the way, what is the Big Ten doing with football?
Well, they won't make an. They were supposed to make an announcement yesterday, I believe, about their full schedule. But then Rutgers had an outbreak, so they pushed it back.
Oh,
now Rutgers is the.
They're the only conference that hasn't decided what they're doing.
Now we know about their only conference schedule, but we don't know who's playing.
How many and their schedule?
Yeah,
or
because they were supposed to, and then Rutgers had an issue, so they pushed it back.
Okay. Your life is on the line. You have to have a three-pointer. And this is not a knock against James, but Dame Lillard or James?
No, Dame.
Holy crap. I mean, that dude is so – it doesn't matter.
Well, is it an open three? Does it need to be created? Because James
– Well, James can create.
Both of them can create.
I mean Dame's got a step back that's ridiculous. There was one a whistle where he's – he must have been 35 feet from the basket.
Oh yeah,
and he just tossed it in, and I was like, "That dude is unbelievable."
What do you think their career? So he's shooting 39 this year. Dame is. What do you think his career? Who do you think has a better career 3-point percentage?
I would say Dame.
You say Dame?
Yeah.
All right, I'm checking Harden's right now.
Career.
I got Dame's pulled up.
Dame is winning 37.1 to 36.3. I would argue James's shots definitely, although Dame takes some tough shots and some shots from tremendous distance, James takes probably the most contested threes that we've ever seen, because he can also make contested threes. But James will take a contested three. That's why he developed that step back as such a lethal weapon, so that he could, you know, fight back against contested threes from distance. I think if James Harden was a pickier shooter, his points per game would come down, and it might not. I don't know if it'd be great for the Rockets or not, but I do think James Harden could be close to a 40% three-point shooter if he had a primary ball handler that could ever set him up from time to time, too. I mean, theoretically, you could with Russ, but no. I don't know that happens. When James gets open looks like on the break, he's pretty good on pull-up threes.
Yeah, My life is on the line. I'm going Dame.
Yeah, Dame shot almost 10 per game this year, and he had his highest percentage. He was at 39%. So
who do you take? Steph Curry? Okay, now your life is on the line, and it's Steph Curry or Klay Thompson.
Oh.
That's a hard one.
If it's off the dribble, I'm taking Steph. But a standstill jumper?
No, a standstill jumper, you're not even in a game. You just need one guy to step up.
Well, I'm going
to
take Steph.
I feel like they both would make. I feel like it's an automatic for both of them. I wouldn't be concerned.
I think Bird and Steph, they just can make anything from anywhere. They can just do anything.
Yeah, but Klay is. I'm just talking about being able to stand there, get ready, no defense. I mean, Klay is about as pure as it gets, too, from a shooting standpoint.
I don't know. Do you ever see Steph warming up before the game from the
everything
corner?
Everything goes in.
It's unbelievable.
But I don't think anyone tapes that of Steph. I think that's a Steph Curry thing. I don't think anyone even tapes that for Klay Thompson. Klay's a career 41.9% three-point shooter.
Yeah. Steph 41. Is at 43 and a half.
Oh, my God. 43 and a half.
That's stupid. That's two-point percentage.
Who would you rather
for a lot of guys?
Who do you think had a better shooting three-point shooting percentage? John Stockton or Steve Nash?
Three-point percentage?
Yeah. How many does Stockton take a game?
Yeah. I'll give you a better one. Steve Nash or Jason Kidd career?
Career?
No, John Stockton or Jason Kidd career. Yeah.
I know Kidd was bad, but he was really good for a while.
He got better later.
He got way better.
Or that's right. He was bad and then good.
Yes. He got way better. Like he was a bad shooter early in his career.
Well, then I'm gonna go with Stockton, Nash.
I think it was Kidd actually. No. I'm saying of Stockton. Steve Nash shot 42.8.
Yeah.
He didn't shoot a ton, but when he shot them, those suckers were going to remember. Steve Nash, did he ever hit the 50-40? Yeah, he was. I think he was 50-40, right? Yeah, multiple times.
About 1.5 per game. I mean, it's just a different era. If he had jacked it up to 4 or 5, how many would he have made?
You know where you can bet on all that, though? Right now, you can bet on it at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. I mean, you got games tonight, Sixers, Toronto, and Orlando. I mean, look at you had to take the dog. You had to. If you took the dogs yesterday, you know how you beat the snot out of MyBookie? Well, here's the deal. If you win, they pay. That's the key to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. And if you're looking for a great way to play, how about that they'll match? Is your bookie going to match whatever you put in? You put in $1,000, they match it. So you got $2,000 to play with. Now you got to bet, and there's you can't just I'll bet their $1,000 and I'll keep mine. That's not how it works. So if you're looking for a great way to play and win and get paid, it's mybookie.ag. They've got everything you can possibly want. Plus they've got horse racing and casino as well. But every kind of prop bet, live betting, all that stuff going on at mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5.
I slapped my girl. She caught a fizz.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No. 747 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. 713-780-3776.
I can't find. I think there is some noise being pumped into stadiums. Well, I'm reading an article that talked about they were trying to make it sound like, what it would sound like at Staples Center, what it would sound like. But then some of this conversation is about having microphones that pick up for the broadcast. It's kind of hard to get a good, honest assessment. I'm going to keep looking here because unless one of you guys know the exact answer on that one, 713-780-3776. Just curious about how much noise is actually. I'll just text Daryl right now. How much noise is in the actual bubble for players? I'm very curious if it's like a pickup game with with a PA system with the DJ in there, or if there is real noise. Not that there isn't. It's one thing to have noise. If you know people aren't hyped up around you, does that even matter to you? If you hear noise, it does to our viewing experience. It sounds the same.
Yeah, there's not going to be no.
If you're not in the stands, it doesn't matter. For me, I like it. I think the NBA is doing a good job. The virtual fans, my eyes see fans kind of there. The sound is very similar. I have no problem with the broadcast. The broadcast to me, it feels, it's great. Now, I don't know. What concerns me is this is very short term. What happens next year if the vaccine is not out early? They're going to have to start in a bubble again. Daryl kind of mentioned that with us on the air. He talked about bubble next year. Now, if that's the case, are the NBA players going to buy into that? And do you stop your bubble? Do you say, okay, we're going to go – the plan is to play bubble from Christmas or presumably after Christmas. You wouldn't want to take your players away from Christmas. You might even have to start your season in January and say, okay, from January and February – We'll play in the bubble, and if everything goes well with vaccine stuff, we'll move it back home.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
But a shorter season?
Yeah, another shorter season, I guess. But dudes are making money now. You're asking owners to take another big loss.
Well, but you're also asking players who are going to have lower BRIs to play fewer games and create another lower BRI season than the following year. It's not an easy answer.
No.
Because you saw how upset the Major League Baseball
players. Listen, they're going to do everything to get back into stadiums with fans. I have a feeling that is going to be a hard sell for the owners again, is let's not have any fans. Let's not have any of our advertisers. Let's not have any of our all that home attendance and money that's coming in. That's going to be another hard sell.
When you have shared income, shared revenue model, then the two sides tend to be, like you see it with the NBA, the two sides tend to be on, it's easier for them to get on the same side. So I think that's one of the advantages, is it's in the NBA's best interest to do whatever it takes within reason to get back to the quote-unquote norm. So if that means staying in the bubble, showing that you can do what you have to do, things of that nature, maybe they're more likely to do that. Now, I say that. And that's why the baseball model, where baseball historically the owners don't want to open up their books, there's a lack of trust between the owners and the players. Well, you can't get, the NFL also has a model. They've got a revenue sharing model too. Baseball's so far behind on so many things. Their model of the baseball model, the way it's built right now, is just it's just not very. You have ridiculously, outrageously high and long contracts, which was not good for the NBA. The NBA figured it out. They went to a salary cap, but the salary cap really didn't prevent players from earning tons of money. It just made it to where you knew what you had a better feel for your economics, and you weren't pricing. Anytime that you have $40 million players, I mean, you're going to price out the middle class a little bit, and that has happened some.
The Big Ten just came out with a schedule, so the answer is here. Ohio State is obviously the most important school, right? They're going to play Michigan in week 8. They've got a 12-week schedule. Everybody gets 2 bye weeks. Everybody's going to play 10 games. They've got Michigan week 8 as opposed to the last game of the season like they always do. Mm-hmm. And they've got Iowa in the last week of the season after a bye. Penn State, they go Michigan week 8. Maryland week 9, Penn State week 10, bye, and then Iowa. So a different look.
Yeah.
We don't have that big game at the end of the year.
Trying to get it in. I guess that would be the reasoning to make sure.
To make sure they get it in.
Yeah. Who knows? Although you would think later in the year it'd be easier, but who knows? Whatever their thinking is, they want to make sure they can get that game in. If they have to cancel game later and push it back, who knows? Ohio State's the team you mentioned as the one that anyone cares about. Most important. I'm trying to figure out who maybe got the shiv as far as schedule is concerned for the teams who you think might have a shot to do something. Ohio State, they would have played Penn State anyway, played Michigan State anyway. They didn't get Wisconsin on the schedule, so they don't have the tough team from the other side of the division.
Right. Michigan, they got Nebraska.
Yeah, Michigan plays Wisconsin every year, I think, so that doesn't matter for them as far as the other division game that they play. Yeah, I don't. I would have to look at it, but it doesn't look like anyone is overly screwed as far as teams we care about.
No.
And plus, we care about like three teams in that conference anyway. Barely. We might care about Wisconsin. And that's only if they start off like 8-0. Then we start to care.
So they've got Michigan at home, Penn State on the road. Michigan State the week before on the road.
New coach, and what's his name? Mel Tucker, former Colorado coach, former Georgia defensive coordinator. He's their new coach at Michigan State.
Did you guys see the story out of Colorado State?
The conflicting stories?
Yeah.
Unnamed players say the coaches are hiding COVID cases.
Right.
Yeah, players who go on record saying, players on Twitter on record saying that's not true.
Yeah. Players, there were a bunch of players that said it's just not true. But one guy said, listen, I'm standing there on practice and this dude's next to me coughing. And then he wasn't at practice the next day. But he said, this is a real problem.
One writer took that, wrote it on Twitter, and it got disseminated like wildfire.
Yeah.
Tyler somebody yesterday, and now it's the truth because it got put out there. And then you have people who are actually in the program, and players no less saying, no, this isn't accurate.
Well, here's a problem, though, is I'm fighting for a job. I'm a linebacker. I'm a senior. I'm fighting to get playing time this year. I'm sick. Man, I can't miss. I got to be out there. I can't, you know, miss any time because I'm going to lose my job. Or, you know, there's a young sophomore that's really, really good. I can't miss any time. Or the other way, the coach is like, yeah, you're all right. Quarterback, you're okay. Listen.
Did that really happen?
Oh, yeah, you got allergies. You're fine.
But did that really happen? Would Dana do that?
No.
Okay.
But wait a minute. In week 8 of the season.
I'm going to tell you why I don't think that would be a thing. I think right now, the way that's, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, by the way. I want to make sure I position this so that you understand what I'm saying, you being the listener. Right now, there's so much accountability for coaches and some is right and some is maybe over the top. But there's so much accountability by the general public, by the players in the building, by everything. To take a chance like that could ruin your career. If you put people's health, if you sit and throw that in the trash, it knowingly do something like this, you will be, yeah. I mean, you will be ostracized.
Listen, I agree with you 100%. This is a different time. Listen, 10 years ago. 5 years ago.
They would have just. But they do it with concussions.
Fine. You're fine.
They did it with concussions.
Right. That's
but now, but I think college football coaches have been better about
concussions. I think you're right. I agree with you 100%. I can still see it happening. And nothing, and it's not at Dabo, but Trevor Lawrence is sick the night before they're playing North Carolina or Notre Dame. Come on, you're okay, kid. You're all right. Just go to bed. Here, take some allergy stuff. I almost said the bad word. But guys, here's the other problem, Lance, and I know this is going to happen, and I'm pretty sure it probably did at Colorado State. I can't afford to be sick. I want to play this year. This is my last year. I'm not trying to go to the pros, whatever the case may be, I love football, and I want to play. I'm not sick, everybody. I'm fine. I could certainly see that happening.
Well, if the player was really sick, it would be found out. He wouldn't be playing anyway. I get what you're saying, the pressure of wanting to play. But if you are coughing and it's a 2-week to 3-week thing, I mean, guys suffer injuries in the preseason to come back. I understand. I'm not saying it's not a valid reason for a player to try to figure out, hey, maybe I can get by and I won't see anything. But if the coaches have made it known that, hey, if you get COVID and we quarantine you, but you're ready to come back, you're going to play. Oh, man, playing that game and putting your other teammates in that situation, that's a...
You're putting your teammates, other teams, like coaches have to be, they have to really take it seriously. Because if you're found to do something like that, and that's why this is, and see, that's why this rush to get information out there and be first and get your likes and you really have to go and do you actually don't have to anymore, but you really should when it comes to a coach's reputation in something like this when it comes to player health, there should be a double checking of the facts with other players and things like that before you disseminate information like a coach is knowingly telling people, we're not going to do contract trace. Don't say anything about if you have symptoms. Like what was said was like, oh my God, this is terrible. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of problems here for this one. That's what I read. And then people, and I got to tell you on my timeline, four different people retweeted it and had comments back to back to back on it. So, and it may not even be accurate.
Right. Well, we don't know, but there definitely is conflicting opinions here. I want to talk right now about Lance Loken. This is a great time to sell your house, people. This is a really, really great time to sell your house. There are so many stories about people that have sold their homes. Jeremy, an investment property in Torrey Pines. Okay. They're all over. Lance and his team got 8 showings on the house, had an offer for $2,000 over the list price, just 3 days on the market. You say, oh, just $2,000. Listen, if you get your list price, you are doing something. And to get over your list price, you know what it means? It means that more people want your home. And Lance Loken has access to more buyers than anybody. And that is huge because he's reaching more people with your home. Not only that, there are so many times when people don't take the right pictures. They don't set it up. They don't market it well. Well, Lance Loken, I mean, these people are awesome at it. And oh, by the way, if you don't want to deal with all of that, you don't want showings and all the stuff that goes with it, you don't want to wait 30 days because that's the average while the other guys are like 59 days, he'll give you an immediate cash offer. So Lance Loken says, listen, I'll buy your house right now. You don't have to do anything. The only agent in Houston that I would call, if you need to sell your home, then you need to call Lance Loken right now. 281-861-4624. TheLokenGroup.com. That's LOKEN group.com. The average market is 56 days, not 59, and it's just 30 days for the Loken Group, the number one in Texas and number two in the world. TheLokenGroup.com.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.